Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Morena, Kirsten, how are you?
I am... Well, life's pretty tough at the moment. I'm moving house this weekend,
so
it's chaotic.
Good luck.
And then we're all moving office, like, this month, too, so...
That's a lot of moving.
I'm a dusty spiderwebby person.
The vacuum cleaner is your best friend. We are talking about something that is not dusty. It's very contemporary. We just already got a text straight off the bat from someone saying trip hop. They've been revisiting trip hop in the last few weeks and been reminded how good the genre is and how it still stands up.
Yeah, people love this genre. I'm going to be honest and frank. I'm not a big fan, but I've learned a lot. And yeah, it's still going, you know, there's like, you know, 20 artists this year who are still keeping it alive. And it's very popular, earth shattering. People feel like changed it. And you're going to hear some of the greatest adjectives that the journalists / academics who love it writing about it non-neutrally.
I'm going to hit the first track.
So one of the things people say about it is that it's a sonic mutant.
A sonic mutant.
So you can already hear that in here, right? You can hear a bit of reggae, little bit of like rap. Say this love is best. Weird samples.
Take a rest.
And it's got the sort of like from the dub sound system, the reverb-y.
Totally. To live and into, your troubles must be seen. So this is of course Massive Attack with Karma Coma. I drink on a
daily basis. 1991.
So when and how and where did trip hop just sort of arrive from?
So it comes from a town in England called Bristol, which was a really mixed race town, and I guess like a lot of the music's, you know, it's built on that sort of social and political context of the place. And so the black and white communities, they say they came together over, you know, sort of marijuana and this chill music.
Yeah.
So it's also a college town, you know, a uni town. So this music scene, came together and reflected the Caribbean and Jamaican migrants. And also, you know, punk and ska, remember, had that mixed blend thing, you know, 10, 15 years before. And so it's very British. And you get these groups that are sort of mixed race. So it's an EDM as well as, you know, like it's just this mixture. And it has not a DJ, but a selector. And not an MC, but a toaster.
A toaster?
He toasts.
I've never heard that term
Neither.
Before.
That's
toasting.
Cool.
Is that right?
That's a Jamaican dub thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And so they do vinyl decks, as well as live instrumentation, this interesting mixture.
Okay, that's cool.
Which is also apparently breakbeat. Like, honestly, you have to know 40 other genres to read about the show.
So this is kind of interesting as well, because coming out of a town like Bristol, as you say, you've got all that like cultural and racial mix going on. You've also got all that like socio-political mix going on as well, because you've got your students, a lot of them will be from like middle class, you know, families coming in from other places as well. And then you've also got your working class stuff that happens in Bristol. Is that kind of informing this as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And there were some specific sort of police and kind of crackdowns and, riots in the past. And so the people feel it's really reflective of this particular cultural stew. See, to me, I think you don't hear that, though. It just sounds like chill music. You know, it's not like punk or hip-hop, which is very forefronting lyrically of the protest. But it's about almost them sort of coming together and finding point spaces of things they want to do on a Friday night.
Maybe in the different like actual sounds you hear, you kind of get a flavor of that, though. Like, there's so many sonic reference points in trip hop tracks.
And also some people were talking about the sort of the melancholy, you know? That sort of...
This is Bristol by the Sea kind of sad, sad sounds, but in a good way.
That's a punk thing, even though, you know, it doesn't sound like punk, but that sort of that nihilistic, you know,
We're getting mini trip hop fan texts coming in. Lots of people talking about Broadcast, great trip hop, also Leica, as well as the obvious Portishead.
Well, yeah,
trip hop is like the acid music of the 90s, according to this person.
Okay, see, then you got your psychedelia. And even apparently, stuff I was reading was putting Bjork in this category, Gorillaz,
oh, yeah.
And then even newer acts like FKA Twigs. Don't at me, folks, because I'm just saying stuff I'm reading. Here's the characteristics: bass heavy, and that comes from the reggae dub. Ambient textures, which is the sort of EDM. Ethereal vocals, down tempo energy. Oh, and collaboration.
Collaboration being a big one.
Yeah, that's this, you know, racial thing too. But DJs, producers, vocalists, musicians, toasters.
There's a lot of space in the sound. Like, they kind of like evoke distance or like.
Well, yeah, you're right. Even though it's quite a thick texture, it's still, it's not up front. It's artistic exploration and sonic rebellion.
Righteous.
It's familiar, yet unnervingly alien. Sorry, I'm just, honestly, there's the most amazing quotes. It brings the dream world onto the dance floor.
Yes, you can definitely see that. Imagine, you know, the smoke machines going and the lasers at like 4 a.m. Nothing can
replace the another person sort of unpacking it all with big words says the three characteristics are producer-led outfit. And by being producer-led, it's the nexus of humans and technology.
Mm-hmm.
Also, there's opaque mediation.
Opaque mediation.
It magnifies the oral trademarks of pre-digital processing.
Ooh.
Honestly, people
Wordy.
Love writing about this genre.
This is kind
That's
of what's...
That's cool though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, giving me that university town, like, it's an academic genre as much as it's also, like, a genre of the dance floor. Because people love to write about it. They love to talk about it.
I thought metal was bad, but I think trip-hop's taking the cake
but
for
I
the writing.
But I think that's nice, because people are obviously extremely passionate about the music they're making and the music they're listening to, and they're connecting to it.
And they're getting that mix of just pure pleasure and enjoyment, but also some intellectual, you know, like
stimulation.
Because sometimes you want one or the other, with this one, they're getting both. So this is Everything But The Girl.
Tracy Thorn, love you. The thing I like about this, I don't know if this is specifically trip hop that brought this in, but you get these really interesting vocalists, maybe. Like, Tracy Thorn's got such an incredible voice, but it's quite an unusual voice.
Yeah, the singer is more part of the texture than, like, really forefronted. Even the rapping is, like, pulled back.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, like, listen to every word I say.
Someone says, trip hop carries its political nature through its unsettling, disquieting sound. Massive Attack are very political, especially. That's a great observation.
Oh, and some more big words. Thank you. Unsettling, disquieting. Thank you.
Unsettling, disquieting sound.
Yeah, see, they're a trip hop person too. I can tell from their language.
A true trip hopper.
Now, apparently, the genre term was invented by a journalist, and we've seen this happen in the past, right? And the bands don't like it.
They don't like trip hop?
No.
Oh.
No, yeah, so, you know, that's a common story we've come across.
That's really interesting, because I feel like trip-hop fans are totally all good with the label. So that's interesting that the you know, groups aren't so keen. Is that because of that classic thing of, like, not wanting to be lumped in, you're doing your own special thing?
I think so, and also, and that sort of journalist pasting it on, you know, sort of organically emerging. But when you look up any of these bands, they've all got about 6-7 genre categories after them. Like, nobody it'll say soul, you know, ill bent, you know, like acid breakbeat, you know, like they don't want it.
Yeah.
Jazz, you know, they don't want it.
No
to
one
have
wants
that.
To be pigeonholed.
I guess not. I keep trying to reiterate, genre is good, helps your audience find you. But all these bands are like, no.
No, not for me. This person says apparently Tracy Thorn runs an awesome blog. She's got great music writing as well.
Oh, okay, because I know...
I've not read that.
I know
I'm
she's written
check it
a
out.
Couple books, they said.
Yeah. I
could have left you forever. Well, yeah, because it's gone on so long, you know, and we were listening to sort of 90s bands, you know, the stories, the drama, you know, and... the Bristol scene was a bit like the Wellington scene, you know, people in each other's bands and
small scene.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, there's some cool sort of goth stories.
A lot of cross-pollination going on.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was very interesting, and also because now they've had
Biography. Lives. It was her biography they're talking about, not blog. I got excited there. I was like, there's all this untapped Tracy Thorn stuff
I've
not been reading.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I want to try her crafts or her recipes.
Got a shout out to Straw People here as well.
You're right. Actually, but see, did they ever consider themselves trip-hop?
Yeah, that's interesting.
But now that you say it, I'm like, yeah, I can totally hear that.
I'm very sad to have to fade down gently on Tracy Thorn, Everything But the Girl, Walking Wounded, but happy to be able to pull up this one.
So this is 2020.
This is new trip hop.
This is fresh. No, but Tricky doesn't do trip hop.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Now, Tricky's story too, you know, drama story, you know, because these guys started so young. I think Tricky was originally like a break dancer and graffiti artist.
Very cool.
You know, he was like this kid with really troubled childhood.
Yeah, we actually had some texts in about like street art. It's a really awful word to be like urban sound, because what does that even mean? But it does kind of evoke big city and that kind of like hard time in the big city kind of a vibe.
Well, yes, I noticed in all the videos it's raining.
That's how you know you're a trip hop band. Is it raining in your video?
Because it doesn't rain in rap videos that are urban, but these ones it's a rainy, you know? Which is funny because Bristol's like considered sort of a tourist city. It's probably not raining all the time there.
No. This is awesome. And it does sound, it's got that 90s flavor, but it does sound very contemporary.
But it fits right in, like,
totally.
You would barely notice. You'd say, oh, this might be 5 years later. But yeah,
the production is what would situate
it. The vocals, the echoey stuff, the bass, the mixture and the textures. Yeah, it is quite an iconic, that recognisable thing, isn't it?
So somebody wants to know, when was the trip-hop, like, label made? Was it afterwards? Because that might explain why trip-hoppers don't like the term.
It was like 2-3 years after, like, some, I think even, you know, the Massive Attack 1991 album, which sort of started it off. I think it was more like 93, 94. So they were already doing their thing.
Everyone's like, we're just out here. We're just having a nice time.
It's
don't
just
need
music,
to tell us.
Man. It's just rock and roll. Honestly, so many bands say it's rock and roll. But you can even sort of hear it in the music, that collaborative thing. You know, you can imagine the DJ, the producer, the singer, and bringing in mates and friends and collecting and, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That was Tricky. That was from 2020.
That was a quick track.
It's a quick track, that one, featuring Marta, and that's from Fall to Pieces, which is a brand new record you can go and listen to now.
Yeah, I think it was September.
Someone's just texted in saying Shay Fu and DLT's Chains was very trip-hoppy.
That's a really interesting record.
Yeah, because, you know, it was so funny because it was so different. Even King Kapisi's music, it did not sound like American hip-hop.
No.
Mm.
But now that you say trip-hop, I'm like, oh, maybe that explains that difference.
There's a little influence of something going on there.
Well, New Zealand music, well, you know, because I know hip-hop more than anything, but it's always been a real nexus of both British and American music.
Mm.
See, for Americans, British music is foreign.
Yeah.
And for British, American music is just kind of exoticized and fetishized.
Yeah.
But New Zealand just, I think, has a real balance of both all the time. And yeah, I guess you could say that's reflected.
Mm.
I like that. Thank you, caller, listener.
Hot take. Appreciate
Texter.
That one. someone says, takes you out of yourself, atmospheric, intelligent, and not whacking cymbals, screeching guitar. There we go.
You're right.
That's that person's hot
this
take.
Is a no guitar zone.
No guitars.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. You're right. Because everything, you know, such a guitar based a lot of these musics, and this is just, nope.
This is all about the production and the vocal. Thank you so much, Kirsten. I've thoroughly enjoyed Trip Hop this morning.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see, you know, it's, the listeners enjoying it, you know.
Hard out. What are you going to be bringing us next week?
Super polarizing. It won't be like Trip Hop. We're doing TV theme songs.
Oh,
awesome.
I'm already so in.
Do you know what popped into my head? Dawson's Creek immediately.
I don't want to wait.
Yeah. There it is.
We've got some thought. Apparently, this is an absolute segue, which we can talk about more next week, but apparently Dawson's Creek is on Netflix again, but they've changed the theme song. And
I've heard that. Yeah, something with the licensing.
I know. So stay tuned. Maybe we can talk about that next week.
Tess is devastated.
Thank you very much, Kirsten.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
All right.